And this man would then walk half across the City of Light in order to gaze upon the Central Criminal Police Station.
It is a very famous building.
John.
Ah, no. Mr. Sherlock Holmes has got a lot to answer for.
He's your friend.
Yes. But you're my wife. And that's a cafe. Come on.
I take it, it was not at Colonel Emsworth's invitation that you went to Tewkesbury Old Park.
No. Godfrey's mother. She's a gentle little white mouse of a woman. Sent me a quite amiable reply to my letter to her. This was after the old curmudgeon of a father had spiked my guns on my first advance.
You wrote to Colonel Emsworth first?
Certainly. I observed polite convention, as you would expect. When the war was over and we all got back, I wrote to Godfrey's father and asked where and how my closest pal was. I'd been meaning to do it for 6 months, after all. But I got no answer.
You're certain the Colonel received your letter?
Oh, yes. It was pure discourtesy on his part. But I half expected that from what Godfrey had said of the old man.
The father and son did not always agree.
Hardly ever, I should say. Godfrey had far too much spirit to stand the Colonel's bullying ways. I waited a bit, and then I wrote again.
This time you had a reply?
Short, gruff. Godfrey had gone on a voyage round the world, not likely to be back for a year.
That was all.
Well, I wasn't satisfied, Mr. Holmes. Godfrey wouldn't drop a pal like that. The whole thing seemed damned unnatural.
So, you wrote to my wife, sir?
I was going to be in the neighbourhood, Colonel, on business.
In the neighbourhood? When we're 5 miles from anywhere? You'll surprise me.
I have business in Bedford, sir. I thought I have a certain amount of interest which I might tell Godfrey's mother of our shared experiences in South Africa.
Oh, yes. We have, of course, only your word for that.
I have Godfrey's letters to me, sir.
On your person, sir?
In my pocket, sir.
Kindly let me see them.
Do you not find it natural, Colonel Emsworth, that I should wonder at Godfrey's sudden silence on his return to England, or that I should wish to know what has become of my friend?
I have some recollection that I've already corresponded with you, sir, that you already know what has become of my son. His health was in a poor way when he returned from the Cape, having been gravely wounded in an action at which his solicitous friends were not present.
That is less than fair.
His mother and I were both of the opinion that Godfrey was in need of complete rest and change of air.
And that is the reason for this voyage around the world.
As you have been informed already.
Why, so I have, Colonel.
I would be obliged, sir, if you'd have the extreme goodness to pass on that explanation to any other of his closest pals who may be interested in the matter.
Certainly I shall do that, Colonel. Perhaps you would be kind enough to let me have the name of the steamer on which Godfrey has sailed, together with that of the shipping line and the date of his departure, so I may have the opportunity of getting a letter through to him.
Mr. Dodd, many people would take offense at your infernal pertinacity.
You must put it down to my very real love for your son.
Nevertheless, your insistence reaches close to the point of damned impertinence.
Am I to take it that you will not tell me where Godfrey is?
I will tell you this, sir. Your meddling can serve no useful purpose.
Perhaps I should be the judge of...
Drop these inquiries, Mr. Dodd.
Clearly, you do not intend to heed the Colonel's advice.
Would you, Mr. Holmes?
Perhaps not.
No, perhaps about it in my case. I vowed from that moment I'd never rest until my friend's fate had been cleared up.
And you cast that in Colonel Emsworth's fate?
I hope I'm better as a friend than as an enemy, Mr. Holmes. No, for Godfrey's sake, I knuckled under for the time being. And eventually, the Colonel accepted he couldn't really throw out a guest his wife had invited fair and square to stay the night.
Well, he has some social graces then, at least.
But it was a dull dinner we had that evening, I can tell you. Mrs. Emsworth questioned me eagerly enough about her son, of course.
But you learned nothing from her?
Not with the old man present at table.
How did the Colonel react to your stories?
Depressed. Morose. To be honest, I think he hardly listened.
Yet you were speaking good of his son.
For a time. But I made an excuse to get to bed as soon as I decently could. My room was on the ground floor. Large, bare, and as gloomy as the rest of Tewkesbury Old Park.